This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
This first, however, from the National Weather Service. Today, mostly sunny, highs 75 to 80, light winds, and tonight, well, did you get that? 75 to 80. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows 45 to 50. Of course, a bit cooler in rural outlying areas. We could get some light winds, of course. Saturday, partly cloudy skies, highs 65 to 70, and a west wind 5 to 10. Moving along into Saturday night, as the day disappears into its event horizon, clouds begin to fill the night sky, perhaps a bit of rain in places and in late hours, lows around 50. Sunday, we could get some rain on Sunday, but starting out in the morning with grey skies. Then partly sunny, clears up in the afternoon, highs around 65. And Sunday night, chance of rain in the evening. Rain's likely after midnight, lows once again, it's holding steady in that 45 to 50 zone. And that's it for the Weather Service, and bringing us full circle to Monday morning. The alternative forecast, the mostly fulsome flower moon in Libra is 15 days old. Cyanotic forecast, it's a good time for root vegetables. Also berries, bulbs, onions, and biennials. Don't forget that we're on a waning moon. We're heading into a waning moon now. So if you are serious lunar forecast, a serious lunar farmer, then you might be cautious about that. The biodynamic forecast moon in Libra, it's an air sign, a good time to sow flowering plants. The sidereal forecast of the moon in Libra, it's a good time for green manures or cover crops. There's a new one out there too. It's a type of mustard. You might want to try it. That's it. Moving straight into news from around the region. I spoke yesterday with Lisa Agabian. She's a senior media relations manager with Sea Shepherd, one of the most active and I don't want to say aggressive, because of course that's a good thing when you're attacking perhaps Iran, right? But not with environmental efforts. Energetic. Sea Shepherd has puts a lot of energy into their confrontations with those who would seek to destroy what's left of our environment. We are covering the goings-on up on the Columbia River with the sea lions up there. And, of course, and Newport, too, at the aquarium, where sea lions are entertaining the people. But they're not entertaining the people on the Columbia River, and Sea Shepherd is there bearing witness to the harassment and the horror and cruelty that's taking place in our name. It may seem trivial in the contrast with the way mainstream media likes to highlight the stories where there is a louder sort of confrontation. This, as it stands, is a serious confrontation. And it got serious when Sea Shepherd arrived on the scene. Because why? Because they get the job done. We hope to speak. We've spoken before with Ashley Linton. We hope to get in touch with her today. Difficult to reach sometimes because she's actually doing it. She's actually out there. Doing she's out there in the name of activism, and we're so glad to have her joining us by phone this morning. Good morning, Ashley. Thank you.
Good morning. Good to hear you again.
Well, starting here, I like to start the show reporting on this because so many other events, in the light of what we're doing to our fellow creatures on the earth, that definitely. It's a good way to begin thinking about how we have, in fact, shed our humanity along with our civil rights and our civil liberties. Can you give us a summary of what Sea Shepherd's been doing this week and what you've seen? And there is a one sea lion 780. Is it 781?
That would be Hope there in Astoria.
Tell our listeners about that, would you please?
Well, Hope was found by the Dam Guardians down about 4 o'clock this past Monday, in terrible distress with a wound of some sort, a puncture that was actively bleeding, hauled out. And we have called just about every agency known to man there in the state of Oregon for help for this animal.
Could you just run through the list? Because this is what's so disgraceful. Is some of the agencies that we, taxpayers actually, pay to oversee these conditions and situations, and that have completely abdicated their responsibility. Can we just name a few of these?
Well, off the top of my head, NOAA, the Marine Mammal Stranding Network, the Newport Aquarium.
Oh, the Newport Aquarium, where they have a new facility so it's easier for tourists to watch sea lions perform tricks. That's right, yes.
Right.
Isn't that lovely?
Exactly, I know. You know, and they each would point us in another direction and then point us in. It was just, you know, no one wanted to stand up and take a stand for this animal. So we have continued to. We have a vigil and continue to stand with this animal and make sure nobody harasses him.
What else has been going on up there? Are they planning, are there plans in the works for killing more sea lions?
Oh, I'm sure there are. They just radio tagged and branded for the first time since I've been up here during this campaign two juvenile sea lions. They are not allowed to tag juveniles. They're only allowed to tag adult sea lions. I don't know if you just heard that explosion. There's a sea lion right in front of me that a hazer from USDA Wildlife, they shoot directly at the animals, which is another thing they are not supposed to be doing. So we are witnessing
at what range?
On a daily basis.
How close are they when they shoot?
I'm a little bad at
I'm terrible at it too.
But in this instance, the animal was, I wouldn't even know how to compare it, but at a very close range. I mean, we've seen animals with what appear to be circular bruises on their back because they very likely have been hit by these rubber bullets. USDA Fish and Wildlife are here, and that agency is notorious for harming, torturing, harassing wildlife all across the country, and they are the hired guns here at the Bonneville Dam.
So utterly senseless to spend, spending public money on a problem that the public, have caused. It's like when you combine cruelty with stupidity and senselessness, this is a very dangerous territory to begin stumbling about in. So as the week ends, what's going up for the weekend, and how many of you are there, and what perhaps could listeners do to support your efforts?
Well, right now there are 5 dam guardians in Astoria. There are 5 of us here at the Bonneville Dam. Again, the best thing you can do is harangue and call and protest Governor Kit Saber there in Oregon. This is a man that is fighting for the life of a condemned and the man pled guilty to killing 2 people, and he himself wants to die. And here is a governor that is fighting for this man's life.
Yeah, a doctor,
no less.
We
need him to be, and a doctor, no less, yeah. We need him fighting for the lives of the animals, the planet, the ecosystem, the environment, or it will cease to exist.
Exactly. This is how we began this morning's broadcast. This is a quote from James Farmer. And thank you so much for that, Ashley. I'd like to invite you back next week. I'd like to keep people updated because people may not think this is important and it doesn't pertain to their lives, but indeed it does in a great many ways. Thanks again for that. I've been speaking, of course, with Ashley Fenton. She's with the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society right there on the scene up on the Columbia River. Moving right along, we're going to also speak this morning with Diane Lund. Many listeners are familiar with the Lund Report. It is a website devoted to all things having to do with this sorry state of our medical care and the medical care delivery system industries. This massive juggernaut of companies and semi-public agencies. Diane, are you with us this morning? Hello? We don't have time for that today. I want to just quickly review Cascadia News. Same-sex marriage ban is unconstitutional, says a federal judge. And, well, we might say that federal appeals judge found this week in a biased complaint that federal and Oregon bans on same-sex marriages violate the U.S. Constitution. See what I mean about our humanity? When we begin to mess around with the creatures we share the planet with, there it goes. The FBI is making the rounds. At least two houses in Olympia and two in Seattle were visited by the feds this week looking for a few different people. At least one of these individuals is being sought because the FBI wants to interview them about the May Day Black Bloc. Of course, once again, it's the Black Bloc and the anarchists, right? They're the problem. This has been Air Cascadia for Friday, April 26, 2013. Sam Parrish engineered the show today. Thanks so much, Sam. And, of course, Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
The death toll from the garment factory fire in Bangladesh is now over 230 dead, with many more still trapped under the rubble and over 1,000 wounded. Also, we'll speak to Kathy Kelly about her visit to the Bush Library opening celebration in Dallas and her upcoming trip to Afghanistan. And the Bigs Beat is back. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We continue our reporting on the terrible fire at the garment factory in Bangladesh that has now claimed the lives of over 250 people, over 1,000 wounded, and folks still trapped in there after they were forced to go inside, even though it was documented that the building was crumbling. Joining us again is Charles Kernighan. Charlie Kernighan has been on top of this story now, working day and night, really, for days since it broke out to bring information out on it. Charlie, welcome back to Flashpoint. So the death toll has now soared to over 250. Why don't you remind people basically what happened and then bring us up to speed in terms of what's going on now?
Sure. The death toll is up to 255. People are dead. What happened was that on Tuesday, the 23rd, the workers were about to go into work when they saw cracks in the walls of these enormous factories. This was an eight-story building. It was enormous. There were five garment buildings, factories, inside this complex. And they look up and see cracks all over the place. And there were bankers on the first floor who fled immediately and locked up. And the workers refused to go into work. The union people were with them and saying, don't go in there. But then they didn't. But when they came back on Wednesday, the owners of those factories blackmailed the workers. And they said to the workers, that, in fact, actually the place was padlocked and closed. But the owner, the greedy owners of the garment industry, unlocked the locks and the gates. And they told the workers, look, if you don't go into work, that's your, you can not go in, but you're not going to get paid for the month of April. Because if we don't finish our orders and it doesn't go out to our garment companies, none of us will have any money, not us and not you. And so the workers were put in a position that they either go into that building and risk their lives, or they don't go into the building and they starve to death, because there's no Bangladeshi worker that can survive a month without wages. They live from hand to mouth. So the workers had to go into the building. They did. They went up into the building at 8 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday, and 9 o'clock, an hour later, they were dead. And the factory collapsed and just pancaked. The top five stories just crushed down. And right now, along with the 255 deaths that are known, and that's going to go much higher. It's so tragic. There are still 600 and 700 workers trapped inside the building, and it could take 5 to 6 days for them to remove the rubble. The death toll is going to go sky high.
There are reports of people. You can hear people screaming from inside. There are photographs of people holding up those who are their relatives and friends who are under the rubble or who were killed. There are horrific pictures of the bodies, the mostly young women that were dragged out and crushed. You have folks right on the scene. What are they telling you about the situation?
Well, it's just enormous grief. Like, the parents are beside themselves. You're right. I mean, 80% of the workers are young women, 18, 19 years old, some of them kids. And so here you have parents holding up, like, ID cards and everything and begging, where's my daughter? Where's my son? It's, like, incredible. And there's just this pile of rubble there. And underneath that pile of rubble, there are still 600 or 700 workers. And, you know, they're not going to make it if it takes –